To welcome me far beyond the starry skies. What a day that's going to be. Are you looking forward to the coming of the Lord? Are you excited that he really is coming back? Look around you. Oh, if you know anything about this Bible, friend, we are at the door. Now, the broadcast today, listen to me carefully. The miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. The miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. I cannot think of anything more exciting than the miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. Could I tell you something? If you would eliminate Jerusalem and Israel from the world scene, you would close the book of God. You would close the Holy Bible. You would close prophecy. Prophecy would cease to be relevant, my dear friend, if indeed you could eliminate Israel, the great nation of Israel. Well, I think we're on the air everywhere. Salem is having a little difficulty, and they had to bring me back the last minute, but the lights are on, and I presume we're there, here in Charlotte, down in Lumberton, up in other places that we're on radio. Welcome to all of you. Remember, the miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. The miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. I'll tell you, I can think of nothing more exciting than to look at prophecy as it relates to those wonderful people in the land of Israel. Oh no, they're not Christians at this time. Oh well, they're Messianic Jews. But as a nation, they are still in unbelief. They're still living by the Old Testament covenant with no place to offer sacrifice, and we won't go into all of that. But I can tell you, prophecy. Without Israel in prophecy, we have to close down the book of Revelation. Now that to me is just breathtaking. If you buy into these new theologies that are coming from every direction, I am amazed at them. If you buy into them, most of them would make you anti-Semitic. You would have to turn against the whole message of the Bible as it relates to the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. You would have to discard any possible future for Israel in the Bible and in the prophetic truths of Holy Scripture. And if you did remove them from any prophetic truths, you would render this Bible impossible to believe. You would have to just literally remove it and, live for sin and, and there would be no future. There would be no redemption. This Bible is tied to the people of Israel and the land of Jerusalem. Tied to that. Now, I know they are in unbelief, and I know they're enemies for the gospel's sake. The Bible says that in the book of Romans 11. But that doesn't mean they're not beloved for the Father's sake, for that's exactly what the Bible says. Now, let's get into that today. I want to take you, first of all, and show you right after the rapture. Right after the rapture. What do you see right after the rapture? You see in chapter 7 of Revelation. And I want to read it. And you got to listen to this. The tribulation has started. We're now in the middle of a 7-year tribulation period. Now that's at this time. Not now, but at this time in the Bible. In the fulfillment of prophecy. The great tribulation is in process. The rapture must take place first. That happens in the book of Revelation chapter 4. And then there's a short period of time and the 7 dark years begin. Well, as you move into the 7 dark years, chapter 6 lays that out. You go to chapter 7. Listen, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. Now, this is one of those great parts of Revelation. The tribulation, 7-year tribulation, has begun in the Bible. It is now in process. Chapter 6, you see men and women hiding in rocks and crying out to be hid from the face of God the Father and Christ the Son that sits on his throne in the midair, up in the heavens, and they can actually see them on the earth. We did a program on that a few weeks ago. Now we see the angels stopping the process. The whole trouble of what's going on, the devastation, the judgment, the angels busy doing God's biddings, and the angel says, stop it. Hold everything. We've got to seal the servants of God in their forehead. And what comes into view? The children of Israel, the land of Jerusalem, the very place that right now is under such controversy and such anger and such disregard and such attack. And listen, it says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. I want to show you something. The tribulation period could not begin, and the 7 years of this dark period before the great millennial reign could not occur if Israel was not in their homeland, if the Jews were not in Jerusalem and in the land of promise. They have to be there. Disregard them. If the Arab radicals could destroy them and eliminate them and there were no more Jews, this Bible would have to be thrown into the trash can. And you would have to take all prophecy as of no meaning and no value. And you would have to forget the hope that Jesus is coming and that we're going to be delivered out of this horrible mess in which our world is becoming. But friend, you can believe that nobody can eliminate the Jews and nobody can take Jerusalem and Israel away from them permanently. That is impossible. It is impossible because they fit right into God's prophecy. Now, what happens in this beginning of the tribulation period is that God stops everything, seals 144,000 Jews. They become his witnesses, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes. And they begin to represent him because they are converted. See, after the rapture, these Jews are not converted right now. They're probably the Orthodox Jews, those dedicated to all the truths of the Bible, living a very strict and consecrated life. And there's more than 144,000 of them, I assure you. But out of that crowd, he will seal 144,000. I believe they will be converted after the rapture. There seems to be no question of that because now they become followers of Jesus Christ. They become converted to Christ. Now, the nation as a whole doesn't become converted at this time, but this 144,000 have been. And now they're sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. And then the tribulation saints are shown. And then chapter 8 goes right back into the horrible period of the 7 years of the great tribulation. But then, if you move over to chapter 14, after the middle of the tribulation, after the Antichrist has been manifest, after the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet and Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, then after that, you will see those 144,000 Jews caught up to heaven, caught up to God. Now, let me read that to you because that's very important for you to grasp and for you to understand with this great Bible. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. That's Jesus Christ. and with him 144,000, and 4,000 having his father's name written in their forehead. Remember, they were sealed in chapter 7. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great multitude or thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and before the elders. And no man could learn it, that song, but he, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Well, isn't that beautiful? Now you say we're going to remove the Jews from Jerusalem. We're going to eliminate Israel. We're going to drive them into the sea. We're going to obliterate them. That's what Iran is saying, and other Arab radicals are saying. That's what Obama seems to want. Oh, my friend, listen to me. God is in charge of this thing. God is in charge of this thing. And you can give God a hand. You can give God a hand, because it will be on time and will be targeted just exactly like this Bible talks about it. So, the miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. 12 years after I was born, Israel became a nation. That was one of the greatest miracles in human history. 1900 years, give or take, they'd been without a nation, driven among the heathens of the earth. But God brought them back to their homeland. And I would say the whole event of Hitler and his destruction of 6 million Jews and 6 million Christians, and the devastation he created in the world, of which Obama seems to be kin to and seems to have a liking for, a same similar kind of feeling. Oh, I'm amazed. I am really amazed. And I don't want to say too much, because I'm not judge. I'm just simply looking at the matters, and I can tell you, God is in control. How many of you believe God's in control? If you don't live by this Bible, and you don't trust what this Bible says, you're in trouble. You are living a dark life. I'm calling you to Christ. I'm calling you to this Bible. I'm calling you to repent of your sins and turn to Christ with all of your heart. The Savior shed his blood to wash you from your sins and to forgive you and to make you a brand new creature in Jesus Christ the Lord. And I love you enough that I want you to be converted and to come to Christ. I'm praying for you. I care a burden for our audience all over this great globe. I promise you I do. And it's a joy to bring you this broadcast today. The miracle. Can you hear me? The miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. Now I'm opening the lines. I want to hear from you. The number to call is 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884. And then the local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. You are extremely important to me, and I want you to have your question answered today. Now, we've got some calls already coming in. We opened the lines for you, internet, to email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. That's jrc@paulcreek.org. Questions about Israel, Jerusalem, the tribulation period, where Israel fits into the whole 7 years that will begin immediately after the rapture. Can the rapture occur without Israel being in their homeland? Absolutely not. Somebody says there are no signs that's ever occurred that had to occur before the rapture. I beg to disagree. Those people don't know what they're talking about. Israel had to become a nation before this prophecy could be fulfilled. Oh yeah, Jesus could have come before then if he would have chosen, but it certainly wouldn't have fit biblical scenarios. So I just want to keep it by the Bible. How about you? Is it okay to keep it by the Bible? Oh, I believe in the imminent coming of Christ. I believe it could happen any moment. I believe it could happen at any time. In fact, I'm sitting here waiting on it. I'm sitting here. If I disappear, you know where I've gone, okay? If I disappear, I hope you've disappeared with me. But if you don't disappear with me and I leave here, you just vanish, you know, out of here. You may see my clothes hanging here, because he's going to give me a brand new garment of righteousness like I have never had. And I've been righteous in him, only in him. Believe me, not in myself. I do not trust in nothing good about Joe Chambers, but I trust in everything sufficient in Jesus Christ. He's my life. He's my life. Grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I want to see how many of you love Israel. Now, if you're into post-millennialism, then you have become anti-Semitic to a great degree. If you are in the mid-trib, you are anti-Semitic to a great degree. You're not understanding where Israel fits in this picture. If you are a post-trib, that means he comes at the end of 7 years. You really missed it. You missed it because this Bible is right, and you cannot have any of the designs that people have created about the end times except the pre-trib rapture, and it fit this Bible perfectly. And it fit this Bible perfectly. And there are so many new charismatic groups that they think they're going to set up the kingdom. And they don't believe in a rapture. They don't believe in an actual antichrist. And they're into all kinds of stuff. I mean, they really are. And they go by the teachings of men rather than the Bible. Could I tell you something? Here's what's happening. You remember the book that was written, The God Chases? The God Chases. He said in that book, we don't believe in living by the dusty old pages of the Bible. That's where God used to be. We believe God is in the new revelations. The new revelations. There's some of these guys that are really, really something else. They boggle my mind, the things they are teaching. I believe in this Bible. Now, I know people say Joe Chambers is stuck in the mud. No, stuck in the Bible. You tell them that quickly. If they say, I'm stuck in the mud, you say, wait. I believe he's stuck in the Bible rather than the mud. That's a good way to answer them. If they say he's against everything, tell them right. Everything but the Bible. Everything but the truth of Scripture. I'm against false doctrines of every description. I'm against all kinds of music that doesn't honor the blood in Jesus Christ and the soon return of Christ in the rapture. I am Bible pro to the core. Bible pro to the core. I believe the book. Do you believe the book, or you want to believe what these people are saying? I had a man trying to get me into Calvinism. He said, I'll give you two books. If you'll read them, you'll become a Calvinist. I said, I wouldn't dare read a book that's going to change me from the Bible. I wouldn't dare read a book that's going to cause me to lose my confidence in what the Scripture says. No way, Jose. No way, my friend. No way. God bless you. Revival begins in the morning here at Paul Creek. Revival begins in the morning. Here at Paul Creek. Are you hearing me? Revival begins in the morning at Paul Creek. Tomorrow night. And then all week, 7 o'clock every night except Sunday night. That one is 6. So it's 6 tomorrow, Edrin. In the morning, 10:50. Tomorrow afternoon, 6. And all week, 7. And then we're having chapel in the school Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's at 9:15. I tell you, you would enjoy being a part of this place. God is moving. We're believing for a Holy Ghost revival. Now, open the lines. In fact, they are open. Let me hear from you. 704-391-0588. Don't sit around and wait. I want you to call. Now, I want to give you something. Very important. I want to give you something. I want to give you a copy of a booklet entitled exactly the program today, The Miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. These things that I'm saying to you are in this booklet, and you can read, and you can learn, and you can grow in the Lord, and you can believe this Bible. I only take you to the Bible. I don't take you to my opinions and my theologies and the new things that I've got from revelations from God. I just believe this Bible is the infallible word. And there is no such thing as private interpretation. If somebody says, I've got a new interpretation of the Bible, you tell them the Bible says there's no such thing as private interpretation. There's no such thing. It's the same to all of us. And it's so simple. Anybody can understand the Bible. Anybody out there, if you just know how to read, you can understand the Bible. Fourth grade, of course. Absolutely. I got saved when I was 16 and I couldn't even read, period. And they handed me a Bible and said, read it. And I started praying and reading the Bible. And would you know, I began to read. And then I began to read books of every description. And then I went to get me a high school diploma. And the principal said, well, let me give you a test. I'll let you go take a test. And I'll help you with whatever course that you're not sufficient in. And so I went and took this equivalency exam about my high school certificate, high school diploma, and would you believe I made second college grade level. Now, how did I do that? The Bible. reading the Bible. I learned to read. So don't give me no excuse. The Bible, you can understand it if you will, if you want to. So grab you a good Bible. Now, I want to tell you, if you don't understand the book of Revelation, I want you to have my book, The Masterpiece. The Masterpiece. It's a verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation. I have three chapters up front with some wonderful, wonderful charts that will help you get a picture of the book of Revelation. And you can order a copy today. Call the phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. I want you to know the book of Revelation. I want you to know the book of Revelation. That is very, very important to me. Let me see if I can get that where you can see it, okay? No, that's worse. Let's see, maybe here. All right. Would love for you to have it. I would love for you to read it. I want to be a blessing to you, and I want to get you in the book of Revelation. Now, phone lines are open. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. You got that? 1-800-33-TRUTH. 33-TRUTH. Isn't that beautiful? 1-800-33-TRUTH. We just believe in the truth. If somebody says Brother Chambers is against everything, you say, well, he's not against the Bible. Isn't that pretty good? You know, he loves every word of the Bible. He believes in every word of the great book. Isn't that pretty good? The only things I'm against are things the Bible is against. If the Bible says it's wrong to steal, I'm against stealing. How about you? The Bible says it's wrong to commit fornication, adultery. I say I'm against fornication, adultery. How about you? The Bible says you ought to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. I'm for it. How about you? I just believe the Bible. All right, let's have some calls. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. ISIS and the tribulation period. Does ISIS know or care about anything concerning the 7 years or the war of Gog and Magog? Let me show you something. ISIS is connected to the war of Gog and Magog. They will be destroyed before the war of Armageddon. The Armageddon war will be against apostate religion, Christianity, apostate Christianity. The war of Gog and Magog will be against ISIS and the religion of Islam. You understand that? Very clear in the Bible that ISIS and the whole business of the Middle East is getting ready for the war of Gog and Magog. That's when God defends us. We have a whole notebook on that will give you an education that is breathtaking, okay? A notebook that we've put together ourselves. It's 8.5 by 11, about 200 and some pages, if I remember right. And you can order a copy today and get yourself educated. You can go online, right on the internet, and find much of it, okay? We just out to help you, that's all, understand the whole of the Bible. So, you don't want to ever understand that ISIS is getting ready for the tribulation period. ISIS and the Muslim religion will be eliminated either right before the tribulation period begins or right after the tribulation period begins. Right in there at the time of the rapture, give or take, before or after. That's where the war of Gog and Magog happens. And when the war of Gog and Magog happens, I'm telling you, the religion of Islam will lose any relevance in this whole globe. They will be judged just like it is. They're building for it. Man, they're getting ready for it. When you speak against Israel, you're playing with fire. You're signing your death warrant when you come against Israel. I mean, our president, Obama, right now, is determined to put an end to Benjamin Netanyahu. Well, he's wasting his effort. He's only going to butcher himself. I promise you, he is going to butcher himself. I'm not talking about nobody else doing it. God's going to judge him. God's going to judge him. I'm kind of looking for Obama to be judged, something like Herod was. If you go read the book of Acts, it's very clear. He was so arrogant and proud, so Herod I'm talking about, and he was judged and fell dead, and the worms ate him as laying there in front of everybody. And I'm kind of looking for that to happen, because you can't play with Israel. You can't play with the Christian world. You can't play with people that either belong to Christ or belong to the Jewish religion. because God's got them both in his hands, and they all come into a head, and all Israel's going to be saved. Aren't you grateful? I'm so happy about that. Let's go here and see what's on the line. Here's one. Israel, what do you think about the re-election of Benjamin Netanyahu? Should we have a separate a Palestinian state? No, we should not have a separate Palestinian state. That land belongs to Israel. That land belongs to Israel. Aren't they God's children too? If Palestinian is saved, yes, he's God's children. We're not against the Palestinian people. Didn't you notice how many of them voted in the Israeli election this week? The Israeli people don't hate the Palestinians. That's just not true. And they prosper greatly under Israel's government. It's under the Palestinian crowd that they don't prosper, that they have nothing but heartbreak and heartache. That's very evident. If you really love the Palestinian people, then you'll pray for them to be satisfied, to be part of the nation of Israel, and to fit into the great prosperity that the Israelis are experiencing, because the Palestinians have had a share of that prosperity. No question about that. So, you do understand, I'm 100% for God's people all over the face of this globe. If an Arab has gotten saved, they're as much a Christian as I am or you are. And they should be loved as much as I am or you are. And they will be, in my mind. We're not talking about against Arab people or the Palestinian people. We're talking for Israel and for their nation and for peace and for prosperity and for them to get ready for the great end time events in which all of them left. That's the ones the Antichrist don't kill. All of them left will be wonderfully saved. Okay? Let's see if we have anything here. And that's not it. I'm trying to make sure I haven't missed. I don't want to miss anybody. You understand that. Now, Gog and Magog. Will Russia, Iran, and ISIS be in allegiance against Israel? Well, all of Russia, all of Iran, all of about 30-some nations over there will be in alliance to march on Israel. ISIS is haters of Israel. In fact, ISIS is actually the more radical of all the Arabs against Israel. Their ultimate goal is to eliminate Israel. Everything else they're doing, of course, is preparation to set up a one world Islamic government with the 12th Imam, and then to eliminate Israel. Israel has to go in their mind. Israel must be driven into the sea, must be obliterated. Iran wants a nuclear bomb so they can obliterate Israel. There is no question about it. Now, Israel is the little Satan, but you know who the big Satan is, don't you? That's us. So Iran wants to be rid of us just as much as they want to be rid of Israel, because we are a friend of Israel. We always will be. That is, most of us, not all of us. You know that. Well, questions? Let me hear from you. The phone lines are open. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Grab your phone, okay? I love telephone calls during this broadcast. That to me is more enjoyable than anything else that happens, is your telephone calls. So grab your phone. 1-800. Listen now, 1-800-33-TRUTH or 33-87-884. Easy to remember, 87-884. That's truth, 33-TRUTH, 33-87-884. Our local number for those in the area want to hear from you too is 704-391-0588. All over Charlotte, Gastonia, all over Concord, all over these areas around here, grab your phone and let's learn together. If you are around anybody that's got themselves in these other forms of end-time prophecy, anything other than pre-trib, the pre-tribulation rapture, that Jesus comes and gets his saints before the tribulation period begins. Pre-trib happens before the tribulation period starts. The rapture takes place in Revelation 4. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'll prove that in my book. And then the tribulation period begins in chapter 6 after the celebrations and the preparations in heaven. Okay? And then chapter 7 is when the 144,000 Jews are sealed. They got to be at home in Israel. They've got to be right where they are. They've got to be practicing their religious convictions. They've got to be getting ready for the temple. They've got to be looking and expecting the Messiah to come soon. That's Jesus, who came 2,000 years ago. They're still looking for him. That's so sad to my heart. But you know, they're enemies for the gospel. But they are beloved for the Father. You remember that. You can find it in the book of Romans chapter 11. God's word is plain and you can depend on it. Now grab your phone. I want to hear from you. Let me take you to the internet. A question. Good afternoon, Brother Chambers. Wasn't Calvin part of the Reformation along with Luther and Augustine? Would you briefly explain why you are against Calvinism? Thank you for furthering my knowledge as a Christian. You know, Calvinism is a very, very strong religious idea today. They call their thinking Reformed theology. Now, there's 5 points of Calvinism. I won't go into all 5 of them. I'll just deal with one of them. And the one of them that is so anti-Bible and anti-Christian is the one called limited atonement. Limited atonement, that God himself in his foreordaining process foreordained exactly those who were going to be saved. He set it in concrete. It cannot be altered. So that Calvin believes limited atonement. Most of the world cannot be redeemed because they're outside of the limited atonement that they believe in. Not most of the world is just lost. But there's this one select group called the Calvinists, and they believe they were ordained, and they were preordained. They were in the foreknowledge of God to be Christians, and they have no choice. They're Christians because God foreordained them to be Christians. If you know the name of Tommy Ice, he's one of my dear friends, but he's a Calvinist, and he introduced me one day at a big conference as a man who believed in what do they call it? All of a sudden, I can't say it. Instead of Calvinism, it's the doctrine that believes in everybody making their own choice. Freedom of choice is the ultimate, and I'll say the word in a minute. And he was introducing me that way, and then it was my time to speak, and I looked at the man he was introducing me to, and I said, well, Tommy is a Christian and serves God because he has to. I'm a Christian, and I serve God because I want to. And he looked at me, and then a smile came over his face, and he'll never forget it, and his friend won't ever forget it either. Because really, a Calvinist has to serve God because God foreordained them. I serve God because he gave me the choice, and I chose him because I want him, because I want him to have me. So that's really Calvinists, a lot of good Calvinist people. I don't say that they're not some of them Christians. If they've been born again, they're saved. If they've been born again, they're saved. You see, God is so gracious. If you come to Christ, whatever your theological background may be, and you fall on your knees, and you repent of your sins, and you ask Jesus to come into your life, he will come into your life. You may be in a Catholic situation. You may be in a Calvinist situation. You may be a Jehovah Witness. You may be a Mormon. Whatever you are, you come to Christ. And you get on your knees and you open this book to John 3, you must be born again. And you surrender your life to Christ. You let him take over your life. Then you begin to read your Bible with prayer and faith in the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And let him guide you into truth. And he will guide you into truth. There are thousands and thousands of people that were raised Catholics that got saved and then left that those false doctrines and came into the faith of Christ. That's true of every religion. You can be saved if you want to be saved. So whatever your background is, don't let me turn you off to Christ. Let me turn you on to Christ. And you come to Jesus and you repent of your sins and you ask him to come into your life. And then you ask him to teach you the Bible. Ask him to show you the truth. And then you get in here and read this Bible and you take it literal as you read it. Literal. Now there's the places that he gives symbolic things. Then you understand the symbolism. Go to wherever you have to in the Bible till you figure out that symbolic statement and then believe the Bible literally in light of the symbolic meaning. The Bible is just that simple and you can know it and you can understand it fully. Now, the lines are open. Half the time is gone and I want your call. I want you to call to get this booklet now. You've got to understand Israel. Everybody out there, regardless if you're in into Calvinism, you're into the Catholic movement, you're into some of the charismatic movements that are very different and very, to me, false. Whatever you're into, you please, well, my phone is ringing off, I guess, so let me know if there's a line for me. Listen, I want you to know you can be saved. It matters not your background. You get on your knees and you cry out to the Christ who died on the cross for your sins. And you repent of your sins. And you turn to Christ. And I promise you, He'll change you to the core of your life. He'll change you to the core of your being. So call quickly if the ladies... we got ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to have Alan today helping us. Alan Church, a wonderful helper here at our church, wonderful part of our family, and then my wife doing their job. And the lines all of a sudden were ringing off. I think all of them, and somebody got through on the intercom, and I think that's who was calling me on intercom. You call back, friend. If they missed your call, that's because they were so busy. So you call back, and we will be delighted. We will be more than delighted. And you on the air, may I help you, please? All right, let me get you on here. And my fault, sometimes I do that. Go ahead, you on the air. You on the air, friend.
Oh, hey, Brother Chambers, I sure do enjoy hearing the truth come out of the radio this morning.
Well, isn't it beautiful to think about Israel and Jerusalem and how it fits in Bible prophecy?
Yes, sir.
How may I help you, dear friend?
I had a question about the end times.
Okay.
I heard you talking about the, the Israel and you have to bear with me. I had somebody else talking to me there.
Well, my phone all of a sudden cut off here. Just hang on. Something is shaking here, and I'll get it right. Go ahead now. You're on. Go ahead.
When it talks about in the Bible, there's a verse that says that she will burn. Is it talking about America or Israel?
Where is the verse? I mean, if something's going to burn, God will make it plain in that scripture who it is that's going to burn. Where is that scripture?
I'm riding down the road right now. It's somewhere in Revelations.
Well, Rome is going to burn. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about the nation, the city of Rome. Rome is going to be burned. Let me see. And the ten toes which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That's the city of Rome. That's the religion of Catholicism.
Well, that explains it.
We are very careful. See, Revelation 17 is the false Babylonian religion. That's right now what we see in the apostasy of the church world. Catholics and Protestants and all of them. Did you know this week that the Presbyterian Church voted to accept same-sex marriage in their church?
Oh, no.
Yes, the Presbyterian Church voted to do that this week. If you are Presbyterian out there, you don't have any choice. You either get out or you going to be lost with them. See, if you remain and you're partakers of their deeds, the Bible said you are as guilty as those who do those things. So if you're part of that particular group of Presbyterians, I don't know what group that was because there's more than one group of them, okay? If you're part of that, then you must get out, okay? Go ahead now. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. I apologize. I'm on the road, so I'm traveling, and my phone might be going in and out.
Well, it has been, and I didn't know what it was. Go ahead now. What's your last question?
That was it.
Okay. A joy to have you called. God bless your heart.
Same to you.
And thank you. Bless you. You know, it's a joy to talk to people who want to know more about this Bible. And the Bible is very self-interpreting. It really is. You get in there and you read this 17th chapter of Revelation, and you know it's the apostate religion led by the Catholic system. Undoubtedly led by the Catholic system. That's been proven over and over all the way back to Martin Luther. I mean, he even said the kind of things that I'm saying, because it's very evident. And all you got to do is look at the system and look at the evil that has controlled that system. Now, grab your phone. We've got over 20 minutes, and I want every minute to count. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Now, keep calling and get this booklet on the miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. I'm here to tell you that the Jews being back in their homeland is a miracle. All you got to do is look at how they're hated. Look at how they're hated. The first president we ever had that hates Israel is the one we have now. And you can't figure out how in the world he could become so anti-Jewish. But clearly he is. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Chambers. Don't you think that since Satan and the Spirit of God and all both work through the hearts of men, the spirits of men, that's the reason ISIS and the Islamic faith was raised up to destroy the nation of Israel, was raised up by the devil?
Well, the devil has, the Islamic religion is a satanic religion. There is no ifs and ands about that. I wrote a booklet on Allah is not Jehovah God. And in writing that booklet, which is very large and meaningful, I did not use the Bible at all. I used Encyclopedia Britannica. And by using the Encyclopedia Britannica, I was able clearly to show how vile and evil they are, and not a quote from the Bible. I wanted to do that for the secular world to understand what ISIS and what, well, this was before ISIS came along, but what the Islam religion is. It's a vile satanic religion. They hate Israel and they hate Christians. And we all have got to die. I mean, the radical jihadists are out to kill Christians and Jews. That's the only people. Well, they'll kill fellow Arabs that don't agree with them, that are more liberal than they are trying to be peaceful toward the Jews or America. They will kill them too, but only because they're being peaceful with us or with Israel. And it's very much, and it's very much a satanic religion. There is no doubt of that.
You know, you read the book of Daniel where Daniel said the prince of Persia, which was a demonic spirit, stood up against him. So that spirit's still alive in the world now.
Those are angels, sir. Fallen angels. Very much alive.
Yeah.
Very much alive. The midair is full of evil. The Bible said Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Right above us. And all of his demonic world operates out of the midair. And they function against everything that's true. Everything that's biblical. The Jew is hated by them. Because you understand, the Jews are kin to God. Did you know the Jews are kin to God? That Jesus was a Jew, the very Son of God, was both the Son of God and the Son of the Jews, the Son of Man.
Yes, but you said, why does the world, the whole world, seem to hate this little band of people? What's because that they're God's people? They hate God, they hate...
Because the devil is operating in them. You just said it, didn't you?
Yes.
The devil is operating in them. Hatred of Jews is always satanic.
Yes.
Always, any time someone takes a stand against Israel, they're taking a... I'm sorry. Well, I've been sneezing lately on the radio because of all these blooms in the air, and we've got them all around here. I'm sorry for that. But I'm telling you, the devil... I'm sorry, everybody. Oh, forgive me, please. You know, the devil really hates Christians and he hates Jews.
If there's ever been a satanic group on the earth since... Adolf Hitler's SS bunch.
And now ISIS.
It's ISIS.
They're just alike.
He's demon as far.
And have you noticed that Obama has refused to come out against them?
Yes, sir.
Why would he refuse that? Why will he not call them Arabs? Why will he not call them Islamists? I mean, the man is delusional. Could I tell you? President Obama has become utterly delusional, and you just wait on God. Nobody else needs to get involved in trying to do anything concerning him other than the politicians opposing him. By all means, they should oppose everything that's wrong, but just leave it in God's hands. I'm telling you, God is going to have the last word with President Obama. You believe that? Well, he's gone, so I guess he does. Hey, let me see here. You on the air, may I help you, please? I'm sorry. That's wrong. You on the air, may I help you, please? Somebody help me with line four. I'm not getting it. I don't know why, but I want to get it. Line four, help me, somebody. You want? All right, can't get it. Give us a call quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Want to hear from you. If they'll pick that line up again and then put it on hold real quick, I think I can get it. So quickly do that for line four. Hey, call us, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. That line just will not come through with me, and I'm sorry for that, friend. If you're there and you're one of those, hang up and just call back. Because sometimes one of our lines or some of our lines will not come through because, I don't know, maybe we don't hang them up just right or don't put them on hold just right. That's supposed to be the problem, but we do our best to solve it. Hey, listen, the miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. I hope you was on in time that you heard me when I dealt with the scripture in Revelation 7 where 144,000 Jews were sealed. These were no doubt Orthodox Jews who got saved after the rapture. And now they're sealed and they become God's witnesses for a number of years through the tribulation period. And then in chapter 14 they're caught up to God and His throne. And that's a beautiful thing for me. They're caught up to God and His throne. Grab your phone and call quickly. I want to talk with you. You are very, very important to me. I don't want you to have a question that we don't try to help you with. Let me go here and see if there's any questions. Your phone is going straight to voicemail. That may be true. And what do I do about it? Okay. What about Matthew 24 and the fig tree? Well, I believe that simply tells us that all the things that's happened since 1948 will be fulfilled before this particular generation is over. I'm looking for the Lord. And I hope you are. Well, let's hope we can get this call now. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. Brother Chambers.
Yes.
Down from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina area. And I listen to you as often as I can. And I was listening to you today. And you're so right about the President of the United States been a sympathizer with the Islamic ISIS people.
Don't it break your heart, though? I mean, America, a man, we're paying his salary, and he's coming against our strongest ally in the Middle East, the people we love and believe in the Bible and in the God of the Bible. Breaks your heart, don't it?
It does. I pray for him every morning, but I tell my friend, a Christian friend, I said, if you're a Christian, we're living in the most exciting times of the history of mankind, and that the President Obama is God's man for the hour. As much as you may dislike him or as much as you may like him, he is God's man for God's hour because God has everything under control.
I believe you're right, and I have a hard time saying it because he's been so evil. You know, but God is in control, and all of that will end, and he will be judged, and we will be judged too, and it's all coming down to the wire.
And I'm telling my friends, I said, horrible judgment is awaiting for the President of the United States.
Yes.
I said,
it's going to be terrible.
It is. I said, you look at the people that God used throughout the history of mankind. In order for God's will to be done, he had to have people.
I do believe that this is something, not so much God's will as God allowing it. See, many things that happen in our world are not the will of God. They're things that God allows because of the free will of man and all of the working out of history and the finalizing of the wickedness and the apostasy. All of these things have to happen. And so God allows people in different places to do different things. And so rather than me saying God willed it, I say God allowed it to fulfill his word.
Well, that's true.
You agree with that, don't you?
Yes, sir. I'm probably using the wrong term.
Well, that's why I want to say it this way, because it sounds so much more right and biblical. God wills certain things, but the things God wills are the pure things. God allows certain things, and those are things that bring to pass the end, the judgment, the finality of all things, the apostasy. The nations have got to turn against God. The nations have got to unite under the Antichrist. So God is allowing these things to develop so that His will can be finally completely done.
And I agree with you there. And we are living, Christians, we're living, this is the most exciting time.
It is.
Because I believe that the rapture of the church is imminent and any time.
Any moment now. Sir, one of the things that breaks my heart is because much more than half of the evangelical church world, I mean probably close to 80-90% of the evangelical church world has either turned against the rapture or they've started ignoring the rapture and they just don't talk about it.
The spirit of the deception is so strong today.
Yes.
You need to be in the Word. Everybody needs to be.
Every day of your life, you need to be in the Word. And we need to pray for conviction. We start revival tomorrow morning. And we are praying and fasting and crying out to God for a movement of Holy Ghost conviction where sinners crawl their way to the altar. Instead of having to drag them down there, you can't win sinners by dragging them to the altar. They've got to get so convicted that they want to go to that altar.
Absolutely.
And when the right level of conviction comes back to the church, we don't have it right now, but when he comes back to the church, people will literally fall in the aisles on their faces trying to get to the altar. It happened in every great revival of the past.
You think we have a great revival coming before the rapture, or?
I believe we have a great revival coming either right before the rapture or after the rapture.
Okay.
I don't set times. I'm looking for it. I'm praying it starts this week, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
I love you, brother.
For time. And I've enjoyed talking with you. You have a blessed day and a wonderful revival this coming week.
Thank you, sir, and God bless your heart. And may I say to everybody out there, hold the line there, friend. I'll be right back to her. I don't have that one. I don't know what line is waiting for me. Some of these lines are hard to pick up on. They do sometimes go through to my voicemail. Listen, I want to tell you something. We live on the verge of His coming. And if you've ever been in a Holy Ghost revival, I want you in our revival this week. I really do. Let me give you a picture. This is in our sanctuary, okay? This is in our sanctuary. And you can look behind me through the door. You see the stained glass window just a little bit on the side. That's where revival will be. Hey, why don't you come and be with us in revival this week? We would love to have you. Great little preacher. Great little preacher. I'm most excited about him. And when you see this stained glass window that comes on before and after the program, you know that's right behind the pulpit, okay? Right behind the pulpit. And here I am back. Hey, I just wanted you to look into the sanctuary with me. We have two cameras here. This one is, I think, working better right now, and I'm grateful for that. And I want to tell you something, friend. Jesus is coming any moment. And if you're not ready, would you get ready today? Why don't you right now get on your knees? It don't matter your background. I'm not here to judge you over nothing you've been. Whatever religious idea you may be attached to, that's not my burden today. My burden is you ready to meet the Christ, ready to go when He comes. And how do you be ready? You got to be born again. You got to be a born again Christian, and you've got to follow Jesus with your heart and life. You can't get born again and then go out there and live in the world and live like the world and live in sin. That's impossible. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible makes that plain. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, we can't do that. God bless you. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Reverend Chambers, this is Martha. How are you?
Hey there, lady.
I listen to your station every day, and I'm so proud that you have the backbone God gives you to teach the Bible like it's supposed to be taught.
I just believe the Holy Word.
Well, I do too.
It is literal. Every truth in it is right and amen, and we ought to believe it all. And the rapture, the pre-trib rapture, is the biblical doctrine. And anything that lowers the presence of the Jewish people and their place in prophecy, you know that's a false doctrine.
Yes, sir, and I know that's true, and I try to support the Jewish by sending them a donation every month.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love, and thank you for your donations. And let me say to everybody listening, I really need to double my partnership. We've been struggling. This radio program has never had any extra. It's been, you know, it's operated on a thin dime all these 40-some years, and we've never had extra money. I think people think of talk radio as being something paid for by advertising, but this program is not paid for by anything but my partners and friends. And I would love to have every one of you out there as a partner. I really would. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, but I want to say one thing if you got time.
Okay, I got time for you.
Okay, President Obama, when he became president, they say he was Muslim. That's what the media said.
I think that he really is pro-Muslim, really, very, very strongly.
But what we need to do is send him a letter and try to let him know the real truth.
Well, I think Obama has become a reprobate. A reprobate is a person who've lost the ability to reason right and wrong. God has turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. And I really think that has happened to Obama.
Well, I still think he can be helped. Everybody.
Well, if I could help him, I would do my best. I do pray for him.
I'll be praying for him, and I'm going to write him a letter.
I think that's wonderful. I wish everybody out there would write him a letter.
He needs a letter.
Yes, write him a letter.
Okay.
Write him a letter, and God bless you. I love you now. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Brother Jeff?
Yes, you got him. I'm right here.
I just tuned in not long ago, and I was listening to the role that Obama's playing in this last end times.
Yes.
And I got to thinking about Judas. Look at the role he played with Jesus. And, you know, there's always a man with character that God used to fulfill his will, brother.
He allows it, yes, like I said a while ago. He allows people who are evil to do their part, to bring evil to its design and to be seen, because God's going to judge every bit of it.
That's right, brother, and the rapture's fixing to happen. I've wrote hundreds of songs over the years, and probably 90% of them was about the rapture.
Hey, how about that? What's your name?
DeRotner.
What's your name?
Jimmy Patterson.
Okay, and you've written 100 songs.
Okay.
Well, send me a couple of your best on the rapture, will you?
I can do it.
Okay, I'm going to look for them. I'm going to look for them now. You send them to me. Do you sing them also?
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, send me a couple on the tape that you sung. And if the volume is good and the music is good and it's got a good quality where I can put it on radio, I'll put it on radio.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Thank you, sir. And God bless your heart. God bless you. Now call us all over this nation. We want to hear from you. You are important to us. We care about you. Now, I want partners. I really need partners. I really do. So far this year, January, February, March has been slim. And that's not good. And it puts me in a bind. I've got radio bills to pay. Could I ask you out there, everybody, to help me this week and help me bring in $10,000 this week? I need $10,000 that would catch up every radio bill I've got this week if you would send it to me. I need as many as will to send 100. Now, there's some people out there could send 1,000 every month and never know the difference in your lifestyle. But help us. Help us do this work of the Lord. And I want to tell you, I want you in revival. I really do. We're looking for a great revival. We are looking for the great revival. If you're on Facebook, look me up on Facebook. If you're on Twitter, look me up on Twitter. We're doing our best to get this message out every way we can. You're important to us. You are important to us. Now, remember, the miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. Nothing in Bible prophecy is more intimately important than Israel, Jerusalem, and everything to do with the Jews. I'm here to tell you, they fit the whole business of prophecy like a finger in a glove. They've got to be there. Their part's got to be there. If you eliminate Israel, you destroy prophecy. If you eliminate Israel, we don't have a future. Nothing but darkness and sin and bondage and destruction. That's all we have. If you eliminate Israel, the Jews, from the Bible, because the Bible becomes void when you eliminate any part of it. You cannot take away part of the Bible and keep the rest of it. That's impossible, I'm telling you. And you on the air, may I help you, please?
Yes, Brother James. Good to talk with you.
I don't have but 1 minute for my dear friend.
I just heard on the radio that Islamic needs some. Islamic had blown up two churches in Pakistan. I don't know the details. I feel
yes, like. I've been reading about them killing people in Pakistan, and they're really vicious over there.
Yeah, they've just blown up two more churches.
I've got probably 100 friends in Pakistan. They want me to come over and preach, and I really feel like that it would not be wise for me to go. I mean, I've been on the radio talking about Islam and the false religion, and they've got to know about it. And so it would just be me asking for, for trouble. And it would probably cause them more trouble.
That's true. And they made the statement that this would continue until Islam rules
the world. They're going to kill Christians and Jews until they take over the world. They just don't know it. God has already designed their end.
That's right.
God has designed their end. You can believe it. Now, I love you. God bless you. Thank you for being part of us. We're here to be a blessing to every one of you. We really are. We don't want anything but God's glory and God's honor, God's praise. Hey, it's been a joy to be with you. Let me see my time here. I've got 60 seconds. I want to tell you about this. I want you to have it. Very important. Very important. I want you to have this booklet. The name of it, The Miracle of Israel and Jerusalem. If you don't want to call, send an email. Send me this booklet. I'll be glad to send it. Email me, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. If you're on Facebook, look me up. If you're on Twitter, look me up. Become my friend on Facebook. Become my follower on Twitter. We're here to bless the world. We're here to win souls. We're here to do the Lord's business. That's all that matters with us, is the Lord's business and the Lord's kingdom, the work of the Master, the work of the Father. Now, revival starts tomorrow morning, Joe Chambers, Paul Creek, our address 5110 Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. You can go right on your internet and find us and find direction to us, and we want you in the morning, Sunday school at 10, morning worship at 10:50, and our evening at 6, and all next week at 7. I love you. I said, I love you. Do you understand that? I love you. And I want you to grow in the Lord. And I want His joys to be yours.